On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast, Aaron Rodgers faces the Packers on Sunday Night Football, Week 8 of the NFL. Commanders beaten and battered take on the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, and later on, a recap of the Chargers-Vikings Thursday Night Football game. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. No Tuck today, but it's because he was confused on the scheduling, the new scheduling that we've had for what, the last month, since the season started.
Yeah, Ravens fan moment. You know, he's too busy crying about John Harbaugh. I mean, understandable though.
Very, very understandable. But we'll start out with our Rooski game of the week: Sunday Night Football, Steelers versus Packers. Big story, of course, is Aaron Rodgers facing his old team. Other than that, Steelers, well, it's kind of a repeat of the last however many seasons that Mike Tomlin has been the head coach of the Steelers, and it's this continuing cycle. Steelers start out good, you know, everyone's talking them up. Maybe they have some high hopes during preseason, and now we're at the point where you've hit rock bottom and you lose to the Bengals in a game you probably should have won. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. This is a game, not probably, this is a game that they should have won outright, and there's no excuse not to.
Yeah. So now we're at the point in the cycle where Steelers fans are getting crabby. Maybe they're calling for Mike Tomlin's job. On the Packers side, How do you feel about the Packers offense so far?
You know, this might be a bit of a weird comparison, but I kind of view them the same lens where I view Philly, in the sense where they're good, they've got good pieces, but they're winning, but they're sluggish. You know, they're winning their games, but you know it's not sustainable. It's all about the eye test, and the eye test says something is wrong. Something is, in fact, very wrong. That's, like I said, that's genuinely how I feel about Green Bay. Like, I mean, remember how in weeks one and two, it's like, oh, hey, they're Super Bowl contenders. Then they lost to the Browns, and then it's like, sure, they're winning still, but then they just forgot how to football, especially against Dallas.
Yeah, that Dallas game was just weird all around. And I mean, I still like this defense. Like, Micah Parsons has been absolutely balling, three sacks last week against the Cardinals. But I would like to see him. I think that they'll definitely be able to. This Steelers secondary isn't good, to say the least. So I think that there's a chance that Jordan Love could very well do what he did against the Cowboys and tear them apart. But that's kind of the direction I'm going to go this week. I say the Packers get their revenge. Should we call it revenge against Rodgers?
Yeah. After he threw a tantrum and wanted out, I'd call it revenge too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll call it revenge. Give me the Packers this week on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers.
Oh, Chris. This is a game that I feel that this game has the word ugly written all over it.
Yes.
This is a game that the storyline is cool, but oh my God, I think this has slugfest potential. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be a slobber knocker. It's just, as you call it, it's just going to be, unless you are a fan of either team, this screams don't watch. However,
gotta watch anyway.
I believe that it's going to end up being the Packers. I think Rodgers and them might start out hot, but I think they're gonna fizzle out. Jalen Warren's incredibly streaky. They still don't really have a wide receiver outside of DK Metcalf. Meanwhile, the Steelers' defense, that back four is awful. Don't get me wrong. Front seven's nice. Pass rush is good. But if Jordan Love can get it out fast, then it's over. Jalen Ramsey is burnt. He's burnt toast. He's cooked, flambéed even, fried. They are missing Minkah Fitzpatrick. They still haven't adequately replaced him. Joey Porter Jr., when he's been on the field, has been extremely hit or miss. And I think that Green Bay aerial attack with Matthew Golden, Romeo Dubs, among others, Tucker Kraft, and hey, a little bit of Josh Jacobs out of the backfield. I think that the Packers are going to end up taking this one. Also, Aaron Rodgers will not be able to escape Micah Parsons. That Steelers offensive line has been woefully underperforming, and Micah Parsons is about to feast.
I concur. All right, and that is our preview of the Ruski game of the week, Steelers and Packers. Steelers do have our Packers are favored by 3.5, and the over-under for this game, 44.5. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Week 8 early slate. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Week 8 of the NFL season is finally here. Teams on the bye. The Lions, the Raiders, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Jaguars. And we start out with our first game, the Falcons and the Dolphins. Falcons are favored by 7.5, over under 44.5. And this is, the Falcons are one of those teams where Falcons are going to win. I'm picking the Falcons. Are you picking the Falcons?
I am also picking the Falcons, yeah.
All right, just want to get that out of the way. The Falcons are one of those teams where it's they're an every other week type of thing. And thankfully for them, this is their every other week, considering they have to play the Dolphins. Could this be a letdown game? Sure, but Tua has been playing like ass. Like I said this on Tuesday, but like the time's got to be coming for Tua to get benched fully, right? Like at some point, you just have to go to Quinn Ewers and just bite the bullet on the season. Or you pretty much have already bitten the bullet on the season, but there comes to a point where you have to play Quinn Ewers, which they did, but start him.
Yeah. Ugh. I know the Falcons have been a very weird, inconsistent, middling team, but this pick is more of an anti-Dolphins pick than a pro-Falcons pick. Now, I know people look at guys like Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, and say, oh, but they're good. They're having good years. Okay, cool. You got to look beyond the stats. Unless you're one of those goobers that's like, well, the stats would suggest they're due for a breakout. Nah. It's all about the intangibles, which any good sports fan should know. The vibes in Miami are at an all-time low. I would say that Mike McDaniel's coaching for his job, but I think that's too nice. I think it's a matter of when, not if, he gets fired. Tua, his future is completely up in the air. Fun fact, he is now tied Geno Smith for the most interceptions thrown in the league with 10. Has even been 10 weeks, and we already got 10 picks. Nasty business. And, yeah. Like I said, like the vibes of Miami are low. There's players openly like quitting on the team. There's infighting in the locker room. It's got to be Atlanta because Miami's just going to implode.
Tua also just won't shut the fuck up in the press conferences either. Like, just shut up. Just stop talking. Stop talking. You're making yourself look bad. You're making everyone look bad. Next game on the slate, the Ravens and the Bears. Ravens are favorited in this game by 6.5, with the chance, of course, of Lamar Jackson coming back from injury. Over-under is 48.5. But The question is, are all of these guys coming back from injury? Lamar, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey. You're still without Matabuke for the season, of course. But Lamar, limited participant in practice. Marlon Humphrey did not practice. He's got an illness. Kyle Hamilton, limited participant in Wednesday's practice, and Tavius Robinson now put on IR as well. So, CJ, what are your thoughts about this game?
I think Lamar's coming back, and even if he does, I don't think it's going to be enough. This is one of those times where the Bears, they just have the hot hand right now. They're tied for the longest winning streak with, I believe, New England with four straight. And going into Baltimore is no tough task, but the way Baltimore has just been battered this season, I think the Bears' momentum is going to carry, even if they have Lamar back, because he's going to make the game closer, but it's not going to be enough. And between you and me, I don't think he's entirely healthy if they push him out, because we saw this years ago. How, remember when Lamar would get hurt towards the end of the season? This was like 2-3 years ago, and the media would do that big will he, won't he play, and then he played, and it was clear that he shouldn't have been. I think we're in another one of those scenarios just earlier.
No, I agree. It's funny, too. You know, the Ravens have this 1-5 start, and Jim Harbaugh decides, you know what? No more ping pong table, no more pool table, no more video games. No more fun sharing.
It's not going to help. I saw a report, too, that's not going to help. It's just going to decrease morale more. And Harbaugh, I know he's not on the hot seat, but he should be.
Yeah. Next game on the list, the Bengals and the Jets. Coach that should be on the hot seat is freaking Aaron Glenn.
They have shown nothing. That's the thing. If these were all like close losses, like where they were scrappy and put up a fight, maybe. But they're going out there and just laying down to die. I mean, the defense has slowly been getting better, but I'm sorry, Justin Fields cannot be a quarterback anymore.
Yeah.
He just can't. He is done. He's been benched for Tyrod Taylor, and Taylor is 36. I'm going with the Bengals. Because even Joe Flacco too. Has more signs of life.
Yeah, I'm going Bengals too. But yeah, you mentioned the Jets defense. So they have... Through the up until the Broncos game, every week they had given up at least 27 points per game. The last two, they've let up no more than 13. Mm. So, hats off to the defense. But yeah, like you said, I mean, at the end of the day, though, when you do sign Justin Fields, you're not, I don't know what else you're going to expect at that point. Like,
one last thing before I move on about the Jets defense. Sauce Gardner, I believe, has a concussion.
Let me check that real quick.
So, it's over.
Garrett Wilson not spotted at practice. Sauce Gardner was a full participant in Wednesday's practice.
Really? Huh, interesting.
Yes, but a concussion still was his listing.
Okay.
next game on the list, the Pats and the Browns. The Pats are favored in this game by 6.5. Over-unders 40.5. And it's now back-to-back weeks where Mike Vrabel has a chance to decimate a rookie quarterback. You know what the one thing I love about Drake May? Every week there seems to be just like a new thing that just... that Drake May is like either top five or number one in the league. And I bookmarked this tweet, best second year QBs in deep passing. This is since 1999.
Mm-hmm.
He ranks number one.
Oh my God. Nice.
He ranks higher than Brock Purdy, Colin Kaepernick, Tua, Tony Romo, Joe Burrow, Nick Foles, remember that 2013 Nick Foles run?
Oh, yeah. Who could forget?
Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, 2 and 3 are Kaepernick and Purdy, because Kaepernick had those. Kaepernick, of course, in that 2012 year was insane. Both, but Colin Kaepernick and Brock Purdy, those two quarterbacks in that second year, both went to a Super Bowl. And of course, Patrick Mahomes being on here as well. He's more middle of the pack, but his second year, of course, making it to the AFC Championship.
Also, Burrow made it to a Super Bowl too. He was on that list in his second year.
Second year, good point.
Maybe, but yeah,
maybe. Please.
So as far as game picks go, come to think of it, they all lost. So, I don't like that.
Oh, that's a good point.
But yeah, so as far as the game lost goes, that.
Well, Mahomes won in his second or never mind.
Third. He lost the AFC Championship game. Tom Brady said absolutely not.
Shit. Damn it.
Sorry. I don't want to be pessimistic. It's just a trend that I noticed. For me, for the game, the one thing as a Pats fan that scares me is that the Browns have a really stingy defense. They're ferocious. They have a vicious pass rush. Vicious, because that's like the name of their game. But on offense, Dylan Gabriel's backup bump has officially died. Even though the Browns completely smoked the Dolphins, Dylan Gabriel was little more than a game manager. And you could say, oh, Quinshon Judkins had a great game. Like, I saw this, like, over half of his yards came on one run. So it's going to be, can you overcome the Browns' defense? And New England's kind of been underperforming at home, but Dylan Gabriel just has not been that great outside of his first game. But, yeah, once again, we can attribute that to the backup bump. New England, once again, I think just has the hot hand. Drake May is playing like a top five quarterback in the league. So give me New England.
Taking the Pats, of course, as well. I take the Pats every week. So that's no big surprise.
You're like the Pats fan version of Tuck, but we love you just the same, buddy.
Exactly. Philly and New York. This is a game that intrigues me. Philly's favored by 7.5 at home, over under 44.5. This is a game that intrigues me because, the Giants, of course, on Thursday Night Football, beat them by 2 scores. And the Eagles look terrible. Eagles get a bounce back win against the Vikings where they looked good. Giants, their offense is humming, that's for sure. But are they going to be able to compete in the same light as they did a couple weeks ago? That's my question.
I don't know, man. This is pure conjecture on my end, but we got to go back to last week, right? When you have a win wrapped up and you miss 2 extra points throughout the game and give up 33 points in the fourth quarter, that's not a learning experience. That's something that derails seasons. That's a mark on your season that will never heal. That is something that lives in your head. Like, that is, it's kind of like the what the Cardinals did, against the Titans, where, they were up and then they just completely imploded. The Giants did the same thing. Now you're going to Lincoln Financial Field with an Eagles team that might be figuring out, if last game's any indication. Maybe it's a little early, but still. And you saw how the Giants picked them apart on Thursday Night Football. You know Philly wants their get back. And after what just happened with the Broncos, I think Philly's maybe licking their chops a bit right now. Give me Philly.
Yeah. Philly can't lose to the Giants twice in one season. That, you just can't let it happen. You mentioned the kicker who was
– he got cut.
Yeah, he got cut. Jude Jude got cut a couple days ago, and so Graham Gano is going to be set to come off IR with that as well. So solid timing, unless you're bringing Graham Gano back too early. But yeah, like you said, CJ, give me the Eagles. Moving on to the next game, Carolina and Buffalo. Buffalo is favored on the road at 7.5. Over under is 45.5. I'm a little concerned that Carolina only put up 13 against the Jets. Obviously, we were talking pretty highly of the Jets defense, but with the way that the Panthers offense was humming in the weeks prior, you would have expected them to put up more of a number. Now they're going up against a Bills defense that, or a Bills team that is coming off a bye week. 2 weeks in a row where they put up stinkers. They had a week to kind of reset. I feel like the Panthers might be in trouble here. Wait, no Bryce Young, right?
No Bryce Young, that's correct.
Yeah, no Bryce Young. So it's Andy Dalton, right? Yeah, Andy Dalton's going to be starting. So, yeah, do we have faith in Andy Dalton?
No, not anymore. What is this, 2015? No.
I wish it was. But, yeah, give me the Bills.
I don't. But, yeah, this is one of those games where if Bryce Young was playing, I unironically would have chosen the Panthers, would have put Buffalo on upset alert. Because they were, you know, the Panthers have been kind of good lately, no?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like they've been good.
Bryce Young, like literally, even though he's, you know, been hit or miss, the Panthers were turning it around, and without your quarterback, that's just going to be tough to do regardless. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Bills. Like, no Bryce Young, no winning. That's just the way things are.
Yeah. Houston and San Francisco. Houston is favored at home at 1.5. Over-under's 41.5. You cannot convince me the Texans are going to win this game. You just can't.
No.
You just can't. I know they're favored, but I can't say anything good about or have any good faith about the Texans offense anymore. I can have good faith about the defense for sure, but you've lost me on the Texans offense at this point. You have completely lost me. I have no good faith in CJ Stroud. Maybe the missing piece is Joe Mixon, but there's a chance he's not even going to play this year. But besides the point, give me the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going with the Niners on this one. I'm sorry. I don't understand why the odds makers deemed it necessary to give Houston the benefit of the doubt. It's something that I don't accept, and it's something I'll never accept. You know, it's bad when Nick Caley is making their former coordinator Slowik look like an offensive genius.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. Like, a small part of me is starting to wonder if maybe CJ Stroud is doomed to be a one-year wonder. Maybe defenses figured him out. Maybe D'Amico Ryans, after that hot start, just got figured out. That's the only other solution left, and it's not a pretty one. So even though they're battered, I'm still going with the Niners. I like Stroud. I like Ryans. I'm just really concerned.
Yeah. As am I. Niners all around on the board. All right. We'll take another quick break when we come back. The late afternoon slate and Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Commanders. This is the Fumbrewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumbrewski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Week 8, late afternoon. Games. The Saints welcome in the Buccaneers and our 3.5-point underdogs at home. Over-under is 46.5. I want to pick Tampa. I do. I do want to pick Tampa. And I'm going to stick with Tampa. I don't care if you don't got Mike Evans or did you say earlier that Ibuka is out?
Yeah, it looks like it.
You're going to most likely be without your top 3 receivers, not officially. And obviously there's Ibuka missed practice today. And Adam, what's the status on Chris Godwin? But either way, there's Chris Godwin officially out.
I don't care. Give me the Bucs. The Saints, Look, I think it's going to be close, but you think Baker's going to let getting smacked in prime time? You really think he's going to let that slide? No, he is not. Give me the Bucks. I don't care. Give me Baker any day of the week.
Yeah. This smells of a needed bounce back game for Baker Mayfield, because he didn't perform all that great last week, and that bumped his MVP odds down as well. I think he's fifth still, maybe fourth. I'm not looking at it right now, but so apparently Igbuka did not practice, and I guess he played with half a deck, quote unquote, in the game against the Lions, meaning that he was playing hurt. So I don't know, CJ. It sounds like Igbuka's out this week.
Yeah. Once I don't care. Give me.
Yeah, Baker. I don't care either.
Baker's just gonna find a way.
Yeah. No, for sure. He did it already once. He's gonna do it again with Tez Johnson and Sterling Shepard. So, all right. Moving on to the next game, Denver and Dallas. Denver favored by 3.5. Over/unders 51.5. This Denver defense is dick. Straight ass. Terrible. I don't understand it. Wasn't this supposed to be a top five defense in the league?
It should have been.
Yeah. But now they're letting up 30 plus to the Giants. They've, I'm not going to talk about the Colts game because the Colts have seemed to be freaking gangbusters now. The one good game they really had was letting up 3 points to the Bengals. But, like, with this Dallas offense, if the Giants are going to go put up 30, I can only imagine what the Dallas offense is going to do. Igbuka did practice today, apparently. So, he didn't practice yesterday. He did practice today. All right, that's it for the Tampa. That's it for Tampa. Either way, we have Tampa winning.
Yeah, it's not going to matter. That's a lot of coaches use that as a decoy. That it could mean nothing. It could mean everything.
Yeah.
Alas.
But this game in general, like, man, this offense, I can't figure it out. This defense, I can't figure it out. Dallas's offense is amazing. Their defense sucks. But, like, they're winning because of their offense. Yeah. Denver is not winning because of their defense. And they're certainly not doing enough on offense. They barely got it done against the Giants.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, yeah, you're right. And plus, Bo Nix will play lights out and then just disappear. Like, one drive, he'll flash his potential, and then the very next drive, it's like three straight incompletions and a punt. I don't get it. And the defense, like, yeah, sure, Surtain shut everybody down. Yeah, Nick Benito's in the defensive year conversation. Yeah, you know, even though he's banged up, you have like guys like Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw flying around the field. They're putting up numbers, they're doing everything, but they're still getting walked over. I don't understand. They're like the most explosive block of Swiss cheese a defense could be. No one understands it. I know I don't, which is why I'm giving Dallas the nod here. Because George Pickens finally seems to not be crashing out every other play. And, wow, it's amazing we could do, you know, when he taps into his potential. I'm sure the Steelers fans are upset. And now you have CeeDee Lamb back, who, you know, he was cooking last game. So, but yeah, honestly, man, just give me the Giants. Give me the Cowboys. You know, NFC East blue, my bad. Yeah. But yeah, no, give me the Cowboys, at least not until Denver pulls their head out of their ass.
Yeah. No, I'm taking Dallas too. Give me the upset. I don't think it's a crazy upset to pick at all. It's obviously not the wildest upset that would ever be of all time, but yeah, I like Dallas a lot in this game. Give me the Cowboys. Colts and Titans, last game on the late afternoon slate. Colts are The over-under is 47.5. What's the line, CJ? Time to play What's the Line.
Oh, great. I hate this so much. Colts, Titans, I would imagine, what, 47.5?
No, the line. What's
Oh, the line. Oh, probably like what, 13.5 or something like that?
On the dot. It was actually originally 14.5.
I don't gamble. You gotta come with some slap on the line. Yeah, no, I would imagine it would be Indy by around 2 scores, and understandably yeah. so.
Half up until like 5 minutes ago, and then it changed 13.5.
But yeah, Daniel Jones, you remember what I said last week. You're real until you're not. You control how real you are. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor's just kicking ass and taking names. And the Titans, outside of the occasional Cam Ward flash, there's no reason to be excited. The interim head coach bomb doesn't seem to be a thing. It would have shown against New England, who cleaned their clock, you know, and shut them out in the second half. So, yeah, I got to go with the Colts here. Don't really have to think about it.
Jonathan Taylor, to give you a stat. Jonathan Taylor has more 3-touchdown games than the entire Jets team.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Since their game against the Steelers, of course. But actually, did they score? There was something to. Yeah. They have more three. He has more 3-touchdown games than the Jets team in general. That is correct.
It sounds about right.
Yes. All right. Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Commanders.
Chiefs.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing what has become of the Commanders. They're on the verge of being 3-5. They are on the verge of being 3-5.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not even like a thing about, oh, the Chiefs are good, which they are again. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not even that. It's just the Commanders are not going to have Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I don't care that he's, technically questionable. No, he's not playing. And no Jaden Daniels means no winning. And Adam just buzzed in and said he's officially out. So I will reiterate, no Jaden Daniels means no winning.
Yeah. McLaurin and Debo, though, they are practicing, so there's a good chance they'll play. My buddy texted this morning and said, "Rip Terry," and of course everyone here woke up to the news of what was going on in the NBA with Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups and that whole gambling and mafia thing. I have a buddy that's doing school in Ireland right now, and he thought so. My buddy that texted originally is a big Ohio State fan, big Terry McLaurin fan. So my buddy on the other side of the ocean thought that he was talking about Terry McLaurin and not Terry Rozier being caught with the gambling shit, or that Terry McLaurin was going to be out again this week. Just a little funny story. But yeah, Chiefs, they're hot. They got Rashee Rice back. I mean, they played the Raiders last week. And looked amazing, of course. They're inevitable. It might just be inevitable. They'll be right back in the Super Bowl again. Who knows? We wrote them off 3 weeks ago, and here they are. Making us all wonder if we're just all fools. If we're all just fools. All right. That is the Week 8 slate. We'll step aside when we come back. We'll be back for the recap of Thursday Night Football, Chargers and Vikings.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. Thursday Night Football has come to an end. The Chargers get the win against the Vikings 37-10. Boy, this was almost like a could be a bad Justin Herbert game on like the second drive of the game. But instead it's a 27-point blowout for the Chargers. And now they're 5-3. quite the statement win, if I say so myself. Now, granted, the Vikings are a little cold themselves, but I mean, still not a team that you're going to scoff at. And the Chargers go out there and beat the brakes off them.
Yeah, that's the only way to describe it. I mean, from the word go, they just murdered the Vikings. It was 21-3 at halftime, and they outscored them 16-7 in the second half. That'd be Justin Herbert, 18-25, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick, along with 62 rushing yards. Hey, I mean, it's a great turnaround, especially after they got outpaced by Indy last week. So, you know, you love to see it for them. And how about Kamani Vidal, huh? Who said, hey, no Harris, no Hampton, no problem. He had 23 carries, 117 rushing yards, and a touchdown. A rookie tight end of Syracuse, Aronde Gadsden II, continues to impress as tight end one with 5 catches, 77 yards. Lad McConkey also, you know, he's starting to find his groove again, 6 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Just a good, solid win for the Chargers, who I believe also got like 5 sacks as well. And they got a Carson Wentz pick. That's perfect. But for the Vikings, you need J.J. McCarthy back. Wentz has regressed from game manager to, well, Carson Wentz. Like 2025 Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
You know, 144 yards, touchdown to pick, 15 of 27. That's just not going to cut it in any way, shape, or form. Their running game, I mean, yes, I know they were behind for the entire game and you have to pass, but they had 34 rushing yards. 34. And by the way, what I can't stress enough is 34 rushing yards, right? On 11 carries. Not even averaging 4 yards a carry. You had Xavier Scott, who had 2 carries for 16 yards, Aaron Jones, who had 5 carries for 15 yards, and Jordan Mason, who had 4 carries for 3 yards. I had Mason fantasy. I wasn't thrilled with that, but I digress. So yeah, their running game went nowhere. Their game plan was relatively simple. Just double team Justin Jefferson every play. Jefferson had a solid night, but you know, 7 catches, 74 yards, but they kept him quiet for the most part, you know, kept a lid on him. You're only going to keep the Vikings out of the end zone for so long. They kept a lid on TJ Hockenson. You know, he only had 2 catches. Jordan Addison did get a touchdown, but that was pretty much it. And for the Vikings, Jonathan Greenard is hurt. They said they cleared him to play, but they just didn't put him back in the game. So maybe it'll be a nagging injury, maybe it won't, but that's not something you need to see, especially after he had 5 tackles and a sack. You don't want to see him hurt.
Yeah, no, for sure. Vikings are in a weird spot right now. But I don't know. How hurt is JJ? Because like Carson Wentz was also pretty beaten up tonight himself.
Yeah, he was like after every throw, he was clutching his arm.
Yeah. So like, if McCarthy's dressing, but you're not even playing him like in garbage time, then what's that say about JJ McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell still setting him or not playing him?
Yeah. I mean, when you hear, look, I don't want to sound like I'm instigating. I could obviously never be a quarterback in the NFL or at all, but it almost seems, this is going to sound blasphemous, and Chris is a quarterback, you're going to reach the screen and strangle me, but it almost seems like they're babying him. It seems like they have him wrapped in bubble wrap because they know their offensive line is god-awful, and they just want to preserve him from the world. That's just how it seems. In fact, I do have a quote from Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell himself. He said that McCarthy doesn't have his reactionary movements in the pocket and said it's really just about, hey, maybe a guy gets edged and I don't
Oz.
Know. Yeah, I know. Oz. Right. He wasn't going to say it, but that's what he said. I have to make. That's where he still feels it. If he doesn't have the ability to do that pain three, or pain-free, we obviously risk setting him back, which would be very unfortunate with the time lost already. So he's either, but if he's really in pain, right, when he's going through his reactionary movements in the pocket, then why the hell are you having him dress?
Yeah.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Part of me feels like there's something going on, and like,
yeah,
he, but like, because
it's one extreme or the other.
Like prior to him getting hurt, he had only played like one good quarter of football. He wasn't playing very good football in general to begin with.
He really wasn't. He had that comeback against, was it the Bears?
Chicago, yeah, if week one.
But that was literally it. After that, it's like nothing. And to be fair, the Vikings line, we all know, and I keep saying this, is underperforming. There's no reason they should be as bad as they are. Yeah. There is literally no reason. But I don't know. Like, Ed, honestly, if they're, I said maybe they were babying him. And if it's not that, then it's the other extreme where this injury is far worse than they're letting on. I don't think there's any middle ground. I think they're either A, they're babying him, or B, other extreme, this injury is actually really, really bad and they're trying not to freak anyone out.
Yeah. Or the third option, he's like not good / not ready.
Yeah, well, that's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because you just had freaking Sam Darnold and lo and behold, Daniel Jones in the building as well at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot he was
a funny player. Funny to be throwing Daniel Jones into a conversation like this. But, yeah, but Chargers have coming into this game, having lost three of their last four. And a stomping. I mean, the great turnaround. I mean, it helps that they were able to get a couple guys back, specifically Joe Alt. That was huge, activated right before the game. So I think the Chargers are kind of starting to head back into the right direction. Obviously, still, you know, you're without some running backs, to say the least. But I think they've also shown that, you know, this – you know, with Kamani Vidal and whoever else, like Vidal is literally just practice squad guy. Like throughout last year, earlier this year, to start this season, and he's popping off. I don't know how much longer it's going to go, but
probably until Hampton's back because Najee Harris is done for the year and Omarion Hampton. It's a matter of when, not if he's back, but there's no timeline. They said that he'll be back eventually. We just don't know when.
Yeah. Let's just say it's for the rest of the year. It's not, but let's just say it is. You got something. You got something.
Also, the Chargers got Joe Alt back as well for tonight. Yeah, that's huge. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sorry, maybe if you were more interesting, I would have paid attention.
Oh, please. Jesus Christ. Anything else from this game you want to talk about? How about that kick at the end of the first half? The 53-yarder that was short? Yeah.
That's weird. Look. I know technically a 53-yarder is no gimme. We as fans are becoming so used to seeing 50-yarders, we almost expect kickers to make that. But if you're going to miss it wide left or wide right or barely left or barely right. Coming up short on a 53-yarder, that's something that I don't think I've seen in a good bit.
Yeah, it's been a while. He hit the ground. He hit the ground before he kicked the ball.
Oh.
Yeah. I've never really – I don't think I've ever really seen that.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're swinging a golf club and you end up, like, hitting the ground first.
I haven't seen that in a while. And I think that just shows, like, how remarkable even some of the more lackluster kickers are. Because, like, if they never hit the ground before they do that, that's just – that's something that don't think I've seen in years, if ever. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's a momentary lapse. You got to shake it off.
Yeah. Also, quick fun stat before we get done with this game. I don't know if you saw. So Carson Wentz is a 7-0 on Thursday Night Football coming into this game. And the Vikings were 0-10 on the road on Thursday Night Football. So I'm going to add a bit. Yeah. Now the Vikings are 0-11 on the road on Thursday Night Football. And Carson Wentz, that was his first Thursday Night Football loss. There's a fun fact for the day. That's all the scheduled content that we have today. One last thing I do have to bring up, which I can't believe we forgot about it all the way up. We forgot about for the Eagles Giants preview, but the Eagles brought Brandon Graham out of retirement.
Yeah, I know our good friends at Squawking Eagles are happy, but honestly, Brandon Graham in his final season, while he did get to go out a champion, he wasn't really what he was like at all. So yeah. I don't think there's any guarantee you're getting that Pro Bowl guy back. I think maybe it's more of a locker room figure because, look, they all like him. So
yeah, it's just wild. Like, you retire, then you come back, and like, it's week 8 of the NFL season. You're like, yeah, I'll come back. Yeah, why not? I'm 40 years old. I'll play nose guard again.
Hey, you know, more power to him.
Facts. Hey, man.
That's all I got to say. Hey, more power to him. If he can do it, he can do it.
If you're still having fun at 40 years old, look at Joe Flacco. Oh, obviously, two different, very different positions. But, I mean, if the only thing that you've done in your life is play ball, play fucking ball, dude. Play ball as long as you can. I'll never judge you for that. Even if it's for 3 years, whatever the average is that a player is in the league, whatever it's that, or Brady, where 23 years in the league, do it. But yeah, that is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Full Maruski Podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. And be sure to follow our Instagram, FullMaruski_podcast, to keep up with pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.